Hello, hello, and welcome to Art House Garage, the snob-free film podcast where we make art house, indie, classic, and foreign cinema accessible to the masses. I'm your host, Andrew Sweatman, and today on the show we have a discussion about the new film from director David Fincher. It's called The Killer, and it stars Michael Fassbender. I'm joined today by film critic Keith Garlington. Stick around.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I find music a useful distraction. A focused tool. Keeps the inner voice from wandering. This is what it takes. My process is purely logistical. If I'm effective, it's because of one simple fact. I don't give a fuck.
For what it's worth, I would never have involved your female friend.
Forbid empathy. Trust no one. Fight only the battle you're paid to fight.
Welcome to Art House Garage. David Fincher is the acclaimed director of such films as Fight Club, Seven, Gone Girl, and The Social Network. He's back this year with The Killer. The screenplay is by Andrew Kevin Walker, based on the graphic novel series The Killer, written by Alexis Noland and illustrated by Luc Jacquemont. The film stars Michael Fassbender as a contract killer, as well as Tilda Swinton, Charles Parnell, and Arliss Howard in supporting roles. The Killer is now streaming on Netflix. I'm joined today by film critic Keith Garlington. You can find Keith's film reviews in the Arkansas Democrat Gazette and on his website, keithandthemovies.com. I'm so happy to finally get him on the show. Keith Garlington, welcome to the podcast, and how are you?
Thanks so much, Andrew. I appreciate you having me on here. I know we've tried a couple different times to get this together, and it seems like my schedule was always making it not happen. So I appreciate you inviting me, especially to talk about this movie. I'm really looking forward to talking about it. I'm pretty high on it. Spoiler.
Nice. So am I. Spoiler there for me, too. But yes, I guess we've known each other a couple of years or something now, and I've been like, oh, I got to get Keith on the podcast. So finally, it's happening, and yeah, this seemed like a good fit. So thank you so much for coming on the show. But yeah, so my first question was just about David Fincher generally. Are you a big Fincher fan, or how do you feel about his work? Have you seen all of his films?
Yes, I have. It's interesting. I don't know if I would categorize myself as a huge Fincher fan or an upper tier fan, but yet I really do like his work. A matter of fact, it's funny because I'm a little more mixed on some of his popular movies. I mean, things like The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. I'm not a big fan of Fight Club. I really didn't like Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. He has those that I just haven't been able to really connect with or get on board with. But then he has those I absolutely love. Like, I love Seven. I love Zodiac. I really, really like Social Network. I was a little lukewarm at first, but over time, it's just gotten better and better. And I even like Mank. I know it had some issues, especially narratively. And I know some people pushed back on it and made really good cases against it. But I really enjoyed it. I like what he was doing and going for there. So, yeah, I guess you could say I'm a Fincher fan, just maybe not the, kind of the upper tier. And I will say this, one of my biggest compliments I can give him is that I'm always going to see a David Fincher movie.
Yeah, yeah.
When he puts a movie out, you know, I'm going to be there. I'm going to check it out. I want to see it because he always brings something to his movies unique, something that is uniquely Fincher. And I'm always interested in his visions, his approaches to storytelling, and his and how he's not ashamed to get his hands dirty in a lot of different ways. So I would. That's probably my biggest compliment for Fincher is I always want to see what he's doing.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I'm pretty much in the same boat. Like, it's always going to be interesting, even if it's not something I love, which is kind of how I felt about Mank. Like, I really appreciated it. It's not a movie I'm just going to rewatch a ton, but I enjoyed it. But actually I have some big blind spots. I would love The Social Network. I love, I should have this list in front of me, but I think there's some big ones that I haven't seen. Like, I have not seen Gone Girl or Zodiac. So I've got a little catching up to do. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, you need to see, especially, and Gone Girl. I like Gone Girl, but you really need to see Zodiac.
Yeah, and I've had a lot of people say that's his best thing, and I just haven't seen it. So I've got some catching
just
up to
knowing,
do. But
I think you would respond pretty well to Zodiac.
Yeah,
I think I
would too. Like, I really like Fight Club as well. Benjamin Button, like, fine. But I was curious to see, and this too, because it seems a little bit like a return to form after Mank is sort of a departure in a way for him. I was really excited to see this. And how did you feel about The Killer? Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, about Mank, it was a departure. But yet, even there was these Fincher flourishes in it, just sort of that. Again, with I don't want to spend too much time on Mank, but getting to the way he tells his stories and the way he treats his characters, and again, I kind of like the fact that he sort of stepped out of his, I guess, his routine, for lack of a better word. But yet, even Mank seemed distinctly Fincher to me. But as far as The Killer, I think you're right. I think this is somewhat of a return to form, somewhat of a return to something he's familiar with. Yet at the same time, it's pretty unique too, even within his filmography. There's many things I liked about it. For example, I love that he pretty much stays true to sort of this graphic novel form. You can almost watch this movie and, you know, it's broken down in chapters, based upon the location he goes. It has a very distinctly graphic novel-y feel at times. And if you just look at it on the surface, sometimes it's very much like just a straight genre movie, you know, that you can look at and say, hey, this is, and of course we get Hitman movies by the dozens these days, but this you could almost be seen as just a genre movie. But then this is where Fincher comes into play. Then when you start sort of scratching at the surface, digging a little bit deeper, you start seeing there's a lot more to this movie than just a sort of by the numbers genre flick. I don't want to jump too far ahead, but that's really where I started connecting with it. And that's where it started winning me over.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that too. I think for me, we can go ahead and start getting the things we like about this movie. I think you and I have talked about, like, maybe there's genres that you have trouble connecting with. And for me, that's action movies. Like, I there's action movies I really like, but I don't know. I just feel like they can be a dime a dozen for one thing. And also sometimes I just have trouble connecting. And for me, I loved this. I think you can call it an action movie, action thriller sort of. For me, it felt like sort of like the anti John Wick or something, where those movies are just so, like, over the top, maximal, and this had so much restraint, and, like, when the action comes, it is so much more effective for that reason, I think. So, like, just on the level of this being an action movie, like, as someone who doesn't love action movies, I loved this a lot. So there's that to it. But I just think, like, the screenplay is incredibly well done, which must be a lot thanks to the graphic novel, which I would love to check out now, having watched this.
Me too.
But I think the amount of restraint and buildup we get, and I mean, so much of this is him sitting around waiting, and that's kind of what it sets up in the intro 5 minutes is like, this is most of the job, which was fascinating. Exactly. Yeah, go ahead.
No. I mean, you're spot on. I was going to say, and that's really sort of shown most in those opening 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm not going to spoil anything, but it's this kind of amazing sequence that is, it's so meticulous. It's almost lethargic in how it just sort of goes about his routine. But this routine is all, you know, it's sort of dictated by this very specific set of rules. And he sticks by those rules, which is what makes him such a lethal killer, what makes him so efficient. And it's fascinating because as he's going through this, you know, he's having these sort of internal conversations, you know, at first it's somewhat like narration and it gives us an idea who he is. But, you know, again, this is kind of setting the table for what we get later. You know, it's almost like these conversations begin to be this, like he's sort of trying to convince himself, trying to remind himself of his rules, sort of say, hey, this is, wait a minute, I'm starting to stray a little bit of this, from this. But anyway, those opening minutes, then they're sort of undermined by the job itself, which sort of sends the movie careening into the direction it goes. And the way Fincher lays it out in those first few minutes is just incredible. And it shows the type of control that you were talking to about, or you were speaking to about, instead of this being like a John Wick, you know, choreographed within an inch of its life type, boom, 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 which I do like. I'm going to be honest. I cut my teeth on action movies of the 80s. So, nice. You know, I like that, but I like this too. And to me, it's that patience, that sort of deliberate storytelling that is one of the things that sets us apart. And it is kind of crucial to the story, really.
Yeah. I think another film I thought about watching this is the movie Drive from a few years back, which is very, I think because of just kind of how minimal it is, it's not as minimal as that, but it, I thought of that a handful of times because it's mostly one character who doesn't talk much. But of course we're getting tons of narration, which we don't have in Drive, but, the narration is, again, written incredibly well. And I think performed super well also. And it's, you're right, it's undermined because we set up this, I live by all these rules and this job is actually kind of boring, but you know, hit my mark and I make my money, whatever. And then he ends that by basically saying, I won't quote it exactly, but he says that I don't care about anything. Like he seems very nihilistic, but then, and so you really have a sense like, okay, he has no one that he cares about or loves or nothing. Like, and a lot of his existential sort of meanderings about, you know, why he's fine killing people because this barely makes a dent in the overall world's population and all those kind of things is so interesting to hear. But then it is undermined because we find out, oh, there is someone that he cares about. And maybe that's a spoiler to say. I don't know if I should say that.
I don't really think so. No. Because as a matter of fact, I was thinking about it too. I mean, basically there in the first 20 minutes, he botches the job. And that's what sends everything into motion. That's what puts this person he loves in danger, and that's what basically sets him off, you know. And so, and then really the bulk of the movie is him kind of using that, those particular sets of skills, you know, to go and start basically on going on this revenge fueled tear. But at the same time, he's breaking so many of those rules that he told us about in those first 20 minutes that made him who he is and made him what it's all he knows. But then as we start seeing all these things and we start seeing this internal dialogue that he's having really with himself, as we start hearing that and listening to that, we start questioning, wait a minute, is he really who he says he is? Is this really the guy? Is he just trying to convince himself? Is he really, is there more to him? You know, there's part of him that's just like the picture of professionalism, you know, he just takes his craft to the nth degree. Then there's another part of him that's sociopathic. And you're thinking, you know, he's just a fascinating character. And I think we can get into a little bit to Fassbender, who's just got this, I mean, just ice cold charisma and magnetism to him. He's so convincing, both physically, but also in just in his mannerisms, the way he delivers this monologue, like you were talking about, it's incredible. And like you said, extremely well written. And the way Fincher sort of corrals all of that, and the way it also plays out over time. I mean, I was just hooked, absolutely hooked.
I was too. And yeah, it's been 5 or 6 years since Michael Fassbender was in anything. And I was like, man, I miss Michael Fassbender.
2019.
Yeah. 2019. Wow. I've missed the man. And I was reminded of why watching this, because he's so, so good. And like, most of the movie is just him. Like, I think smartly, it does start to bring in other characters. Like, I really enjoy all the interactions he has with this secretary character in the lawyer section. And that whole, I mean, every section of this is really fascinating and tells its own kind of little mini story that's all connected. But yeah, I think, I mean, all the performances are good. We probably shouldn't talk too much about the details of the Tilda Swinton stuff, but she is so incredible in this too. And I think both of them in it, there's kind of one scene that they, that's kind of the key scene with them, that I was just on the floor. The acting on both parts. And that's when we start to finally see any facial expression on his part. And yeah, that scene was one of the scenes of the year for me, I think, is the scene when they sit down at the dinner table.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. It is so compelling. But it's so gripping too, because there's the tension. You can cut it with a knife, yet there is just the way the two actors are playing off of each other. I mean, just incredible. There's also a scene though, and this gets to, I guess, to the action guy in me too. I'm not gonna set up the scene at all, but there, I'll just say there is a one of the most ferociously violent but incredibly shot hand-to-hand fight scenes that I have seen in a decade, I bet. You know, and that's where our killer goes up against one of his targets. And it is just so incredibly shot. And it is brutal, but it is, you just can't take your eyes off of it. And so it's Fincher, you know, even though he's deliberate, even though he's, there's all this sort of internal conflict, and there's this guy who we're trying to figure out. Like you said earlier, when the action does come, it can be brutal, and it can just hit you right in the gut. And that fight scene, to me, is just incredible. Incredible.
Completely agree. And I think, you know, it is interesting, because I was thinking about the John Wick movies a lot, because I don't hate those movies or anything. They're just not super high on my my list of action movies, I guess. And I feel worn down by them by the end of that, like, because it's just like unrelenting, you know. But I appreciate that for what it is. But this was so much more effective for me, I think, just because there's the build up, but then I don't know, I mean, John Wick is so heightened, this feels more grounded and realistic anyway. But it reminded me a lot of those movies, just because the plot is kind of the same, in a sense, sort of like a guy's
John Wick just kills a lot more people.
Yeah, exactly. But he's getting revenge and all that. But yeah, that I agree. That scene is incredible in the killer. And there's more than one action scene, right? I'm trying to think back, but like, that's the main.
Yeah. There are a couple
sequence.
More. A couple more.
Yeah. And yeah.
But it's not. I mean, it should be said. I mean, this isn't just an action heavy movie. I mean, the action has very important roles to play, especially in sort of defining this character. But no, it's a lot more, there's a lot more to it than just the action. The action is more of a, God, how can I say it? It's more of a, almost like a supporting part of the story. It really is more about this guy, who he is, what, you know, how he operates, how he functions, how his ability to, he's really kind of this sort of, it's almost like an outcast in society. And you wonder, you know, his, when you hear his views of society, when you hear how, there's a lot of things you can kind of pluck out of that and makes you kind of think, and that I think Fincher's getting at, but action plays a part in it, because it does help to define him to a point.
Yeah. And I think, so like, speaking about their narration, there's a line that he repeats a few times. It's something about, this is what it takes if you want to succeed. And he says it over and over. So then you start to think, okay, what does he actually mean by success? Because it's repeating that over. So I think you're right. It makes you think. And then I won't spoil the ending, but it takes some of that repeated motifs and kind of twists it in a way that I thought was fantastic too. So I really love the ending of this also.
But it does sort of, when he, as he repeats that, and I think the trailer, I think, latches on to this sort of. This
actually didn't watch the trailer for this.
Yeah, it's got a real cool trailer. It's about a minute, I think, long. It's not even full, but he's repeating these rules. You know, this what is it? Stick to your plan. Anticipate. Don't improvise. Trust no one. Forbid empathy. I mean, they're very detailed. But boy, they just like I said, it becomes more of this is, you know, telling us what his rules are. It becomes more about him trying to remind himself, you know, convince himself, especially as he starts kind of departing from him a little bit. And those are the little things that made me really love this. That, you know, again, it's not just a John Wick style, you know, I'm going to go and I'm going to get revenge. And, you know, we're going to have these stylishly choreographed big set pieces, and, you know, that go in about 10 minutes of me killing about 30 people. Then we'll move to the next. I mean, there's a lot of Fincher's doing a lot more here. He's doing a lot more.
Yeah, really compelling. I was on the edge of my seat with it. I think a lot of there's a lot of kind of wry humor in the voiceover too that I really appreciated. So that was a fun piece of it. And then the other thing I want to mention is the music by the Smiths, which was really a cool touch that, like, he's got his earbud in listening, and like that provides a lot of the soundtrack to the movie. Just a cool touch. I don't know if I have anything else to say about it, but I thought it was a nice touch to bring that in.
Yeah, stylistically. What's funny is, yeah, it is. It's very, but you know, what's funny is, I'm trying to remember the word he uses it. But to show you how kind of disconnected he is to sort of, you know, to humanity, really, in some ways, he doesn't listen to it because, I mean, and he may, but it doesn't seem like he listens to it because he just likes the Smiths. You know, he loves it. He calls it like a focal tool, I believe is what he calls it.
Oh, yeah.
It
keeps his
like
heart rate.
He listens
rate.
To it.
Yeah.
Yes. And it kind of helps him to sort of bring down his heart rate. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think he even uses where it's a focal tool. Wow. You know, everything's kind of a tool to him. Everything is a means to get to do what he needs to do. And but yeah, it really works well, though, the soundtrack there. I mean, it's really cool.
Well, did you have any issues or things you did not like about this film?
Okay, well, full disclosure, I'm coming from somebody, when I reviewed it, I gave it a 4.5 out of 5.
Cool.
So there's not many things that I didn't like about
Similar
it.
For me, yeah.
Yeah, I think if I were to point out anything, I think it would be, you know, in all honesty, and this may be sort of completely blowing up everything I just said in favor of it, about it having more under the surface. In all honesty, even if you dig under the surface and you start seeing some of these things that Fincher's doing, there's not a lot of narrative depth to it. I mean, even then, I mean, there's a lot to think on. A lot
the plot itself is pretty simple. Yeah,
yeah, it's pretty simple. And if you have to look at something that Fincher's done before, like The Social Network, even Gone Girl, things like that, where it's got these layers upon layers that he's working with, there's really not much in terms of that. But, you know, I have a hard time really coming down too hard on the movie for that, because that's really part of what makes it what it is. And I know I've read some people had a tough time with Tilda Swinton only being in it for a small time because, you know, she doesn't have a lot of screen time. And, of course, I'm one who's always up for more Tilda Swinton.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, you can just constantly keep giving. But again, I would kind of push back on that, too, and say that the amount of time she's in there is perfect. I mean, it is absolutely perfect. It gets to what you're saying. One of the scenes of the year. I 100% agree. So, I don't have a lot negative to say about it other than, you know, don't go into it as a Fincher fan thinking you're going to get something deep and layered, like, you know, sort of a twisting, winding narrative, like some of his other stuff. But that's about all I got as far as negative.
Yeah.
I mean, I just loved it, and I'm anxious to see it again.
Yeah, same here. Streaming pretty soon. I'm hoping to watch
next
it again
week, before
the end. Yeah, I think the 10th, November 10th. So about a week from today when we're recording this. But yeah, I agree. Like, it is, the plot is pretty simple. It's like, again, I think that's where the Drive comparison came in some for me, that it's like minimal and kind of spare. But I really appreciate that about it, because then I think it lets you dig into his character a bit more, rather than, you know, being distracted by a lot of complicated plot things. Like, the plot is interesting and it like keeps moving forward, but
And I'm glad that he doesn't and I'm glad he doesn't just kind of rinse and repeat what he's done before. I mean, again, that's a sign of a good filmmaker, a confident filmmaker, a one who really is sort of dedicated to this vision he has, and man, he executes it, I think, nearly flawlessly. Yeah. And so, yeah, I didn't need the twists. I didn't need the big, the layers and all of that to kind of sort through and peel through. I mean, he gave me just enough.
Completely agree. If I had any issue with the film, I thought about, like, it would have been, on one hand, I think I can definitely see someone watching this and think, I wish we had more from this girlfriend character who kind of is barely in it, but she's like the motivation, because that's like a trend, like maybe a harmful trend to some degree in certain ways, that like a woman who only exists as a whose death or her harming can be the motivation for the man in the movie. And it's kind of doing that, but I think at the same time, the plot and like the way the script is written, it wouldn't work any other way. And in fact, the surprise of her existence is like a really nice part of this. And because it is so minimal and it is about him, you know, following his code, it sticks to that one thing. And I do think that's to its strength. But I would understand someone having that issue with it. Only other thing is the score. I was trying to think back, like, I love the Smiths music, but I don't remember much about the score at all. It's Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross, who have done some things that I absolutely love, and have also done some things that I found pretty boring. So I guess this is one that I was like, I can't remember any moments of the music. Maybe that's a good thing that it wasn't distracting. But thinking about like The Social Network, incredible score, which adds so much, and I love it so much. And like, I really enjoy what they did with Soul and with the Watchmen TV show. But outside of those three, I think for a while I was like, oh, I'm a big fan of Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross, and I think I'm kind of maybe cooling on them, or maybe I just need to look closer. I don't know, but I didn't find the score particularly memorable in this one.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting, but I'm kind of repeating myself. I found it to be interesting, but it's interesting to me that over time, it hasn't really stuck with me. I can't really. You bring up The Social Network. It's a great example. I don't really remember it that well. I just remember at the time sort of thinking it seemed more like mood music, where it was just sort of kind of, kind of non-intrusive, and it was kind of in the background, sort of building up kind of this low tone. It hasn't really stuck with me that much. And I'm with you on them there. They're kind of hit or miss for me.
I think that was kind of a realization. I was like, looking at their things, like, yeah, I love some of these, but some of them not so much. So anyway, but again, overall, big fan of The Killer. Sounds like you are too. Any final thoughts as we wrap up?
No, I think we covered it. I'm glad Fincher's back. This was, it's his first film since Mank, but it's his second film in 10 years. So, it's great to have him back. And again, to still doing this caliber of work, still, and again, even though it's maybe a smaller, more linear focused movie, it's him extending himself. Mm-hmm. I think The Killer is going to stand out. When you look at his filmography, it's going to stand out to me, because it is quite different than so many of these others that are on his list. It's hard to compare this to Zodiac. It's hard to compare this to even Seven. It's hard to compare this to Gone Girl, Social Network. You could go on and on. And again, I love that. I love when I can look at a filmography and just say, wow, oh, wow, that's totally different. Oh, wow, he's a killer. Yeah. Completely different. So again, to me, that's a strength. And I love that he did something like this.
Completely agree. If you are in a city that's getting this in limited release, I encourage you to check it out on the big screen. But it's going to be great on Netflix as well. I guess we can wrap up from there. Thank you so much, Keith, for joining the show today. I encourage everyone to check out your writing online. I'll link to those things in the show notes, and I appreciate your time.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
Huge thanks to Keith for joining the show this week. Coming up on the podcast, I have loose plans to review a lot of films, but nothing solid yet. But it's award season, so I'm definitely going to be watching a lot of things in the coming weeks, so stay tuned to your podcast feed. And with that, thank you so much for listening to Arthouse Garage. We've got a few years' worth of episodes. You can hear all of those in your podcast app of choice. Our theme music is by composer Paul Hunefeld. Learn more at appallingproductions.com. If you want to support Arthouse Garage, become a patron over at patreon.com/arthousegarage or find a link in the show notes. You can also buy an Arthouse Garage t-shirt at thearthousegarage.com/shop. If you want to support us without spending any money, leave a rating or review in your podcast app, and that is hugely helpful. Stay in the loop about Arthouse Garage and the films we're covering by subscribing to our email newsletter at arthousegarage.com/subscribe, or you can email me directly, Andrew@arthousegarage.com. And of course, follow on social media. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Letterboxd. Just search at Arthouse Garage in all those places, or find links in the show notes. That will do it for this episode. Thank you again so much for listening, and until next time, keep it snob free.